Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting from Playboy 2013. Game over. There's at least one man in America who won't play video games. Meet our resident freak of nature. Every time I see one of those amazing ads for Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto, more complex and otherworldly than any other movie, than any movie trailer, I wonder why I stopped playing video games. Then I remember, puberty. I'm shy, a socially anxious guy until hormones propelled me to withstand stomach pains to make friends, get money, and meet girls. I channeled all my skills into avoiding leaving the house. I read a lot, watched a ton of TV, and mastered video games on my Atari 2600. Activision mailed me iron-on patches after I sent in photos of my TV showing high scores on Pitfall, Kaboom, Decathlon, and Ice Hockey. When my parents forced me to go out with friends, Neil Cohen and I would go to the mall where I would head straight to the arcade and ostensibly stretch out during the cartoons between Miss Pac-Man levels, proud I was of having seen them so many times. I can still beat any high score on a Miss Pac-Man machine solely on muscle memory, because my muscles have no idea how to throw a baseball. It's lazy to say I don't play video games anymore because I'm too busy. It's not too busy, but I'm not too busy to watch porn, tweet, cook, or read magazines. It's equally inaccurate for me to claim that because I'm not good at spatial relationships, I don't like violence. The industry's move to first-person shooter games drove me out. There's plenty of great sports and adventure games still being made, and it's not that I've somehow gotten too cool to game. It's the fact is I've stayed at the same level of nerd. Gaming has become socially acceptable. Aisha Tyler talks about games nonstop. The game reviewer for this magazine's website, it's also Miss October 2012. My mother, who I wish were separated by more words from the rest of the sentence, plays some kind of breakout-looking game on her cell phone, and she's never not talking whenever she's not talking on it. Not loving science fiction and superheroes isn't as much of an excuse either. If I like Christopher Nolan's Batman series, then there are undoubtedly games that tell stories I'd love. Tyler says she's cried at endings of Gears of War 3 and The Walking Dead, Bioshock, Infinite. Apparently, it deals with racism in 1912, religion, utopias, and quantum mechanics. There are as many online arguments about its ending as there are about Gravity's Rainbow. People record their bewildered faces as they finish the game and post them on YouTube, which means there are not only people who make time for video games, but people who make time to watch other people play video games. The real reason I stopped playing video games is the same reason I once loved to play them. It makes me too aware of time slipping by. What was once a pleasant escape when I have less time left and more to do incites existential terror. That's why I can't watch a baseball game on TV anymore or an entire porn scene, though it may have to do with other issues. Yes, porn is also a waste of time, but at least unlike video games, I always win. Meanwhile, playing video games has become too imbued with loneliness, jigsaw puzzles, solitaire, Sudoku, and not immediately tweeting about it. When I had an office job, we had to sit around waiting for copy editors and designers to send articles back to us. Two other writers and I would play hours of NBA Jam. One game we had for the free was the Xbox that Microsoft had sent us. We played so much NBA Jam, in fact, that I still find myself randomly working announcer's quotes into the conversation. It's in the shoes. Boom shalaka. And really successfully, has there ever been a better player out of Santa Clara than Steve Nash? So you can see how gaming could be social in college. My dorm level found out a whole new season of Tecmo Bowl on our Nintendo. At this point in my life, just getting three people together for dinner takes months of planning. The only kind of multiplayer gaming available to me is the kind that involves being home alone and getting pawned by some nerdy, trash-talking teenage boy 1,000 miles away. And I've seen enough catfish episodes to know how easily I can be tricked into believing he's a hot chick who wants to blow me. Gaming isn't like bowling or voting, which you can do every few years without knowing anything. Getting good at Dwarf Fortress takes weeks of prolonged frustration. Climbing the learning curve is likely to happen as my figuring out the piano, a foreign language, a new sport, or how to make a woman squirt. I have very little control over my life. My activities are largely a result of my friends and family do, where I live, and global economy. The thing I can affect is my inputs. So I don't keep candy in the house, record reality TV, or own a video game console. If it happens to be around other people who are playing with their Wii or Madden NFL, I'll join in. But I'm not going to make video games a part of my life again. And that means if Miss October doesn't want to sleep with me, I'm not worried, partly because she wrote that her turn-ons include someone with a strong physique who isn't afraid to hit the gym with me. I have even more excuses for that one. Okay, let's get to our next story here. Boss has a vagina. Here's what the woman in the big corner office thinks about you. I'm a lady, and I'm a boss. I'm a lady boss. I work in the entertainment business. I'm a TV writer and a producer. I manage actors, writers, crew professionals who do everything from makeup to action stunts and construction to catering. Although I'm not new to being a lady, I am new to bossing. That's made me think a lot about the following question. Does it matter if your boss has a penis or a vagina? I know having a vagina makes people confuse me with the secretary, but how much else does it affect? In my career, I've certainly had a lot of great examples of male bosses. Ones I greatly respected who championed me and helped me to get to where I am today. And the other ones, my first boss in Hollywood asked me in front of a room full of men if I liked it when my boyfriend fucked me. I answered, well, he doesn't really fuck me all that much. That was my first realization that I was working in a truly male-dominated industry and that my boyfriend was gay. The latter was confirmed when he stayed up all night crying after JFK Jr. died. I've had dysfunctional bosses, functional alcoholic ones. I've had a boss accuse me of being ungrateful for getting time off when my mom was going through chemotherapy. She's okay now. I told him, thank you. It was a blast. I've had bosses who wanted me to be their partner and bosses who wanted me to be their partner. One boss would get wasted at night and then start IMing me. Boss, girl, what are you up to? Me, just about to go to bed. Boss, dreaming of me? A drunk 20-year-old, 20 years my senior boss, yeah, what I'm going to dream about. Good or bad, almost all my bosses have been men, all except the first one. My very first boss was a woman, and she taught me a lot. When I was 16, I got a summer job as an assistant at a real estate firm answering phones. The place was owned by a husband and wife team, Ed and Gloria. They were kind with big laughs and big hearts. exactly the kind of first bosses you'd be looking for. Gloria had a factory job most of her life, and being the boss was a lifelong dream. But for her, it was about making her own hours and getting to work with the love of her life, her partner. No, her parents. She built a large cage in the conference room made, ironically, out of chicken wire, and the parrot right alongside of us. Gray parrots are pretty smart as far as birds go. They can be taught to speak. This bird had been taught to speak one sentence. Hey, baby, let me see your tattoo. And that bird used those seven words to express every single emotion he had. He's hot, he's cold, he's bored, we'd hear. Hey, baby, let me see your tattoo, tattoo, tattoo. Sadly, I had no tattoo to show him. Having a parrot made Gloria a tad eccentric. But she was a fantastic person. I really looked up to her. She was full of helpful advice any teenager would pretend not to care about in the moment but would later take. Most of the practical advice came one afternoon when men in the office were all out getting lunch. Gloria, she said, something very, very important to talk to you about. It meant a lot to me to have a mentor, a woman who owned her own business, whom I respected. So I was ready. I'd take notes and pay close attention. I'd ask questions. Gloria began, everything I want to, in life, you can get one way. Me, hard work, Gloria. By giving great blowjobs. This was not the mentoring advice I was expecting. Gloria used her hand to simulate what she was, in retrospect, quite a large penis. You have to take it deep. That's the secret. She proceeded to show me a blowjob technique while a parrot squawked in the background. Hey, baby, let me see your tattoo. Tattoo, tattoo. And that was my first lady boss experience. As an employee, I had a good and bad bosses of both sexes. They could teach you how to give a blowjob, or they could ask for one. So should I say gender isn't a factor at all in bossing? But now, as a boss, I think it is a factor. Absolutely. It absolutely matters whether your boss has a penis or a vagina because it affects everything. Now, as a lady boss, I can be bad in all the ways any boss can. I'll have to fight with my fiance on the phone on the way to work and take it out on you. I'll make you work hard on the weekend and tell you Friday night. I'll stock the break room with snacks only I like. I'll notice when your cat is there at 9, when your car isn't there at 9. I'll doubt if you're really sick. I'll resent your car trouble, out of town weddings, and dentist appointments. Yet I'll leave early just to beat traffic while you're still at work. But the real difference between having a male boss and a female boss is a social custom. No matter what our roles are, we're tied to the ones that existed since way before anyone noticed the glass ceiling. You hold the door for me because I'm a woman, not because I'm your boss. You look at my ass because you're a man, not my subordinate. And I wear V-necks because I'm a woman and I have nice tits. All in all, having a lady as boss instead of a dude, it's like having a relationship with any other woman. It's complex, a little complicated, it's always a little complicated and a little complex, a little confusing, a little crazy. You may see me crying in my car. You may know how many Weight Watchers points I get each day. I may be late for a meeting because Prada is on 5th. On guilt, because Prada is on guilt groupie. I actually think you care about seeing pictures of your kids. And I'll throw off a puppy party as a reward for a job well done. But at the end of the day, like every boss, I support you if you're good, and I'll fire you if you're bad. The only difference is after I fire you, you'll still have to walk me to my car. Okay. Let's go over to the advice section here. Here we go. Having recently gone through a rough breakup, I dusted off the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, a gem on the topic. In one scene, the main character, Peter, is out in the town looking for some new rebound action. He says to two women, I just came out of a 5-year relationship, so I'm not looking for anything serious, just sexual activity. As a newly single guy with nothing to lose, I can't help but fantasize about being able to pull off such a brazen stunt. Not to be greedy, but I think I could actually pull it off with two women. A menage a trois would go a long way toward healing my broken heart. Do you think I can make it? Can make blunt work? We don't recommend blunt. It makes up for good comedy for movies, but in reality, it's brutish, offensive, and virtually guaranteed to make a woman feel a little more than a piece of meat. Direct can work, but be earnest, complimentary, specific about what you find attractive about the woman you're interested in. You're complicating matters by bringing up a threesome fantasy that sits statistically low on the scale of awesome shit people wish happen more often. We found a menage a trois becomes an achievable scenario when the green light is glaringly obvious. Are the two women looking longingly at you, whispering to each other, and then looking longingly at you again? In that case, go for it. But it's rare, this random menage between strangers that doesn't involve a 3-day EDM festival and copious Molly. As an informal poll, successful menage a trotskies revealed, it's most likely what happened between friends, or at least acquaintances, who had time to establish mutual trust. But that doesn't prevent post-menage from complications. A couple hooked up with such good friends that with a good female friend consider the menage the beginning of the end of the relationship. The boyfriend came in as girlfriend's best friend. The two women don't trust each other afterward, and the girlfriend has never trusted her friend again. And one friend of ours managed a menage a trois, a menage a quarte, with three women, which evolved into an air traffic control nightmare with nobody ever landing. Be careful what you wish for, but if you pull it off, please let us know. 20 years ago, when we were dating and experimental, my wife and I thought a harness and a dildo would be great for her to wear. I found it the other day, and I thought when I was cleaning the closet, I was wondering how to pursue with my wife that we finally take off the tag and put it to good use 10 years after buying it. Do it as romantically and playfully as possible on your wedding anniversary. A present of a dildo to be bundled with a dozen roses and a picture of you two during your courtship. All that with dinner and an old haunt where you can reminisce about how the early days of euphoria were. We assume the unused dildo was a token of trust and a tool for intimacy and pleasure. If you didn't need it then, you probably don't need it now. but it doesn't hurt to try to provided you use plenty of lube. A friend of mine was showing off her new boob job. She proudly proclaimed she now has sporty nipples. So different nipple types have their own official nipple nomenclature is woefully inexpressive. Let's see. Normal, flat, inverted, and being the three main discrepancies. The casual use, we've heard terms puppy, perky, prominent, droopy, shy, dimple pancakes, high beam and low beam, up thermometer and down thermometer. As for your friend, after breast augmentation surgery, implants can push the nipple up and out in certain instances, and which is what makes you, we're guessing, friend look sporty. Dr. Stevens of Marina Plastic Surgery in Los Angeles says a sporty analogy explains this phenomenon. Think of a nipple as a swing set. It's like a nipple that is in its natural position on that little, or a little low. Interest in augmentation surgery will push your swing to top the arc. Okay, let's see what we got here. Why do women in porn movies allow 10 or 9 inch cock all the way to the hilt with seemingly ease of giving head? My wife can barely handle my puny 5 inches without gagging. Expecting your wife to be able to perform like an adult film star is asking a lot of her. Porn is adult entertainment, not adult education. Just as most movie action heroes aren't able to execute a perfect flying kick on the first take, adult film performers don't always deep throat flawlessly. Like any actor, we need for our roles, provided the wife isn't trying to tell you something. With her gagging, here are a few tricks for the trade you can share with her. She can practice relaxing her throat during the inserting and two fingers into the back of her mouth for warmth until she shifts her gag reflex, which subsides over time. Fold her left thumb and her palm and clench her fist, anti-gagging trick that dentists recommend for patients with hair. Or you can use a numbing agent that's comfortable. Uncomfortable numb, deep thermal spray, bonus blowjob fact. Risen porn actors are looked up into the sky, a man's eyes, into a man's eye while she's filleting him is to see their eyes from tarot. Tearing down. Or tearing up. Tearing up. I'm sorry. Okay, hold on. Time for a break. Only got 5 more minutes, so let me take a little water break. I'll put you to bed. Whether you like it or not. Way past my bedtime. Find a good one for you. Here's one. Is it possible for a woman not to have a clitoris? I've never been able to locate a clitoris on my wife, but we have very satisfying sex. After penetration, she gently moves up and down on my penis while slightly rotating her pelvis until she climaxes. It doesn't have a wait, screen clear up. It's either the screen or my eyes are going bad, and I think it's the screen. I can't read that. I don't know why it's messed up. Well, maybe we can pick up there tomorrow. I guess that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, great night, wherever you are. See you next time. Bye.